Today, it's just filled with different things that we could discuss and talk about. The epistle readings were wonderful. The gospel reading, you know, we could talk about Peter. Really, when we say, well, he lost faith. You think that what he was doing was trying to test God, right? He says, if it's you, let me walk on the water, rather than just believing, okay? He wanted to have a little test. So we could have looked at that. But it is not often that the Feast of St. Herman of Alaska falls on a Sunday. And so I thought we would look at, though I know most of you are pretty familiar with his life, to look at his life and see some of the things that we can take from it. You know, he was born in 1772 in a town not too far from St. Petersburg. And then at the age of 16, he entered the Trinity Sergius Hermitage, which was at that time located about 10 miles from St. Petersburg. And he experienced a miracle healing of himself not too long into his time as a monastic, which was his beginning, rather, of the monastic life. And he had a large abscess appeared on his neck, and he was in very poor health, and he really thought he was going to die, and he was praying, and he was praying on an icon of the Theotokos. And he was crying, and his tears wet the icon, so he wiped it with a towel. And then he took the towel and he placed it on his neck, and he fell asleep. And the next morning, the thing was gone. It hadn't broken or any of those kinds of things like we would expect, but it was just gone with a little mark left, sort of like a reminder of the miracle. The Russians had made their first explorations into what is now Alaska in actually the 17th century. And then in the second half of the 18th century, they were beginning to try to exploit, if you would, the riches and the wealth of the natural resources that were in Alaska. And so the Russian Fur Trading Company, what would become the Russian Fur Trading Company, they began these explorations. And there was a man named Gregory Shilikov. And Shilikov was part businessman, part snake oil salesman. He could waltz people around pretty well. And so he went over there to Alaska. They started in at the Aleutian Islands. And he realized the great wealth that was in Alaska, but also that he figured he could parlay that into some kind of thing for himself. So he goes back to Russia and he tries to get Catherine the Great to underwrite this thing, okay, with some huge amount of money. Plus, he wanted the exclusive rights to trading for China, Korea, the entire Pacific Rim. Well, Catherine wasn't called the Great for anything, and she wasn't foolish, so he wound up with a couple of medals and a ceremonial sword. But it wasn't going to be done, so he continues. And what they would do is they would exploit the native Alaskans. They would actually force them to go hunting, force them into the sea to get the sea otters, because they were the most expensive pelts that they could sell then back in Russia. And they could be very brutal because they were armed. Though they were primitive, perhaps, firearms, they were armed with firearms, and they could exploit the native Alaskans. And then Shilikov is going to try to impress everybody, and so he tells the patriarch how many Christians there are there, because that they've converted all the natives, and if he would just send some priests, there would be a house for them, enough food and money to sustain them for, I think it was 3 years, and all of this other stuff. And so the patriarch instructed the abbot of Valam Monastery, which by this time St. Herman had joined, to send 10 missionaries to Alaska. And one of them was to be Father Herman. Now, Father Herman, of course, was a monk. Okay, he was not a hieromonk. He wasn't a priest monk. Though they wanted to make him a priest monk, and another time they wanted to make him a priest monk and an archimandrite, and he didn't think he was worthy. So he came with everybody else, and they found that everything Shilikov had told them was exaggerations and lies. And what they did was, the missionaries began to take the side of the native Alaskans against the Russian oppression. And there were, it did not go well for the missionaries. By that time, somebody named Alexander Baranov. Baranov was assigned to be the governor. And he exploited the people as well. And he was into that, exploiting of the people. And they did everything. They sent bad reports back to Russia saying the priests were, you know, not doing a good job, that the priests were living in debauchery, everything they could think of to try to get rid of the monks. Okay? Then one of the monks, or several of them, went back to Russia. One was made a bishop. He was coming back to take over Alaska, and with a shipwreck, they were all drowned. So things got even worse. And it became dangerous even. But they had started a school. And Father Herman was told by his superiors to continue with the school. And so ultimately he moved to Spruce Island, which is about a mile and a quarter off of Kodiak. And there he built a hermitage, first digging a little cave into the ground, and then later for his winter residence, it was built for him a very small hut. And that would be his abode for the rest of his life. And he had the school and an orphanage on the island as well. He raised crops and just went about doing the humble things of life. Doing the humble things of life. Spruce Island had a source of fresh water, and so he could support himself. And it is described that his clothes were the same for winter as for summer. He didn't wear a shirt. Instead, he wore a smock of deerskin, which he wore whether it was summer or winter. Okay, his boots or shoes, right, were old. Okay, full of his clothes, his cassock full of patchwork, and so it was his klubok, his headdress that has, it looks like a kamilovka with a veil, hangs down in the back, was tattered and patched, leading just a very ascetic life. Ate very little. He was known for that, eating very little. Looked emaciated. And under his garments, he wore 16 pounds of chains as a penance. Nobody knew that until the time of his repose, when they prepared the body. The chains are still on exhibit on Spruce Island. Okay. He slept really on just a hard bed and used a wooden plank as his blanket and two bricks or stones for his pillow. You say, wow, now there's somebody that really was trying to lead the ascetic life and was doing it. But he also tells that he was in constant battle with the demons. That they would try to trick him. They would try to tempt him. They would do whatever it was, trying to lead him astray. But he continued on. And he looked upon the natives, whom he understood as his own, and his own relations with them shows how much he had concern for them. And he expressed himself in some of these letters, particularly to one of the administrators of the colony. And he acted the same way in love for them. He interceded before the governors in behalf of those who had transgressed. He defended those who had been offended. He helped those who were in need. And whatever means he had was made available to those in need. The Aleuts, men and women and children, often visited him. Some asked for advice, others complained of oppression, others sought out defense, still others help, and each one received the greatest possible assistance they could from him, and he continued in his way of life. And that example was what helped spread the faith. It wasn't the great preaching or anything. It was the continuous leading of a Christian life. since he was a monk, not a priest monk. On the Sundays and then the holy days, they would read the epistle, the gospel, have prayers, sing the psalms, and so on. That's what they did to give honor to God. When an epidemic struck from a ship, brought it to Kodiak Island, and people were dying all over the place. And Father Herman took care of them, nursed them. And of all the people that he didn't get sick, even though he was in close contact with them. And he was also the spiritual teacher. The temptations continued throughout his whole life, and he talks about struggling with them. But here's a story about Father Herman, which is of great value, I think, to us to meditate on and to imitate its message. And you'll find this story related whenever you find it related about Father Herman. There's a book on Alaskan history by Father Michael Alexa, and it's a wonderful book. I would recommend that to you. And this is what was written by a contemporary of Father Herman. Once the elder was invited aboard a frigate, which is a ship, which came from St. Petersburg. The captain of the frigate was a well-educated man who had been sent to America by order of the emperor to take an inspection of all the colonies. There were more than 25 officers with the captain, and they also were educated men. In the company of this group sat a monk of a hermitage, small in stature and wearing very old clothes. All these educated conversationalists were placed in such a position by his wise talks that they did not know how to answer him. And the captain himself used to say, "We were lost for an answer before him." Goes on to write, Father Herman gave them all but one general question. And think of this question put to us. He says, "Gentlemen, what do you love above all, and what will each of you wish for your happiness?" Various answers were offered. Some desired wealth, others glory, some a beautiful wife, and still others a beautiful ship he would captain, and so forth in the same vein. "It is not true," Father Herman said to them concerning this, "that all your various wishes can bring us to one conclusion, that each of you desire that which in his own understanding he considers the best, and which is most worthy of his love." They all answered, "Yes, that is so." He then continued, "Would you not say, is not that which is best above all and surpassing all, and that which by preference is most worthy of love, the very Lord, our Jesus Christ? Jesus who created us, adorned us with such ideals, gave life to all, sustains everything, nurtures and loves all, who is himself love and most beautiful of all men. Should we not then love God above everything, desire him more than anything, and search him out?" All said, "Why, yes, that's self-evident." Then the elder asked, "But do you love God?" They all answered, "Certainly we love God. How can we not love God?" Father Herman replied, "And I, a sinner, have been trying for more than 40 years to love God. I cannot say that I love him completely." He then began to demonstrate to them the way in which we should love God. Quote, "If we love someone," he said, "we always remember them. We try to please them. Day and night, our heart is concerned with the subject. Is that the way you gentlemen love God? Do you turn to him often? Do you always remember him? Do you always pray to him and fulfill his holy commandments?" They had to admit that they had not. "For our own good and for our own fortune," concluded the elder, "let us at least promise ourselves that from this very minute we will try to love God more than anything and to fulfill his holy will." The wise words of an uneducated monk whose greatest examples to the natives was his own ascetic life that brought so many of them to holy orthodoxy and the true faith. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And now let us all say with all our soul, all our mind, let us sing.